they're going to finally make bestiality illegal in Washington State.
What is it?
Bestiality?
Yeah, I mean, I know what sodomy is. I've never known what bestiality is.
Need to go
what if it means
record.
Sodomy with animals?
No. Yeah, that's what it means.
Okay. I just pulled that out of my ass, by the way.
Woo!
Hi.
By the way, I've called this new recording position that I'm in, which lets me get nice and loud without popping.
Mm-hmm.
I talk out of the corner of my mouth, so I'm calling it the Cheney.
The Cheney.
Everything's sort of directed out here at the corner.
The Blonde Swedes Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Blonde Swedes podcast number 9, I think, right?
Yes, it is number 9.
Number 9. I'm Liam, and with me always is my buddy Sean.
Hey, everybody.
And it's pretty special podcast tonight.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the making of our first featurette.
I don't know what to call it either all day today. I've been like, we posted our first...
thing that has
what?
Video
yeah
of and we did voices for it thing.
It's hard to describe because I'll tell people we put our first video up and they're like of what, like, well, it's not really, it's a, kind of a movie, is it?
I've been calling it an animated detective featurette.
That's good. I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, so we posted that last night, and it's been a very funny day with it, because as people discover it, I'm getting emails, and every email I get is kind of the same.
Yeah?
It's like, I don't know what this is, and I'm totally engrossed by it. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me at all, and I love it. Like, that's the common thing. It's
well,
like,
I certainly
make more.
Yeah, I understand that it doesn't make sense. I was very surprised when a friend of mine at work watched it and understood everything about it.
Oh,
he got
wow.
He got every joke, and
you know why? He understands my artistic sensibilities.
Clearly, that's
few
it.
You do.
Mm-hmm. It's a mind meld between viewer and creator.
Is he seeing anyone? No, we'll get to that later.
On technology.
Wow. You know what?
What?
Oh, that's wild.
What?
Just
why?
Just as I said that, I looked over at my DVD player, and all the little LED elements on the front were dancing in this weird, weird, twisted way, and then the whole thing just turned itself off. It just turned itself off. I think it overheated. I mean,
you know why?
No.
Because we are so hot that your DVD player couldn't take it.
Video production.
So, how did this? How did you start making this? I mean, we know a bit about why with the finding of the game and all, but I'm sure I'd like to know, and I'm sure everybody else would like to know some details of actual the production of the visual that started this whole thing.
Well, sure. We sort of talked about it a little bit of the background. It's from the game The Movies, which has a standalone movie creation tool inside it that lets you script and produce and quote-unquote shoot your own movies, and then you can export them. And really, I didn't like the game at all, and then I started kind of playing around with the movie thing, and, you know, I'll tell you where it all came from. I decided I was going to play a little game, and the game was I was going to let the game pick the first two scenes, and then I was going to do all the rest. So the first two scenes of this, Shorn and the Dog and Tasty, were picked by the game as the first two scenes, and then I changed everything after that. And you'll notice I started to do things like, well, I started out as a 12-year-old, and I said, oh, the dog can pee. I'm going to put that in. And I said things like, oh, they have the plank shtick. I love the plank shtick. That's going in, too.
So there's some menu of choices. Is it related to the characters you choose, or the characters part of the choice? Or
well, the way it works, the actions are related to the scenes.
All right.
So for this, and this was just picked by the game, the scene was... I think it's Urban Street, I think is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So within Urban Street, you have a menu of different scenes. And you can search on those scenes by, you know, expression or, you know, action or comedy or a whole bunch of features. And you just drag one of the scenes into the movie, and it shows it playing in an endless loop with kind of mannequins. So you don't really have actual characters. And then you drag and drop your characters over the mannequins, and then it's them doing the stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of neat.
That's a pretty powerful environment.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and that kind of blew me away when I was playing around with it, because you can do things like, well, I'm going to make the chase scene happen, and you kind of make the chase scene happen, and you drop whatever style of car you want over the chase scene. And you can do a whole bunch of other things with, you know, props and different extras and stuff like that. So one of the things as I was making this, the second I put the car chase scene in, it became a whole different thing. It wasn't me saying, I'm going to put a whole bunch of scenes together and see how it works. It was like, okay.
It now had to go somewhere and have an ending. Yeah. Right. Wow.
So that's sort of the deal. As it turns out, and I didn't find this out until later in the process, there's a whole bunch of editing you can do. You can cut scenes in half, put the second part of a scene later on. There's a lot you can do with camera work and shooting sort of a lot of factors with emotions. Like there's a scene where many scenes where the two of us talk. And
right.
I could have picked our emotions. So one of us could have been happy and the other sad or angry at each other, and that affects the scene too. Characters' reactions.
How many canned scenes do you think the game comes with?
I would imagine somewhere probably in close to 100, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I've only played around with certain settings, and I've since discovered that you put a new setting in and suddenly there are scenes that you'd never seen before that are available. There's a war scene where you can walk along and a grenade goes off and you're blown into the air. That's a good example. But it only happens outside, and I think a forest scene it can happen in, and a field scene.
Right.
And, you know, it kind of directs you in some story direction, but I bet also, you know, the developers were like, well, we don't need to create a grenade scene on the roof. You know,
right. We're not gonna work that one out and make sure everything works in there, right? And
so I'm sure probably that's part of it too. So some of the sound effects I dropped in. There's some dog barks that I put in, and a lot of the dog sound effects. And they I put in the when she ape leaps from the roof. That gorilla sound is a sound effect I put in.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's very good. A lot of the footfalls and things like that are just actually part of the scene.
Right. You know, there was one of the laughing fits Liam has up on the roof has a bit of a gorilla-like
I noticed that for the first time.
Yeah, I did too. Just watching it on the.
I don't know what that's all about.
Right.
Maybe I'll explore that later. Maybe there's a secret relation between She-Ape and Liam. Right.
Audio production.
I want you to describe your first reaction, because unlike other things that we've done together, I just totally sprung this on you. I'm like, download this.
I didn't think anything about it. Right, right. And I did not, obviously, this. I did not have any inkling of what it is I was going to be seeing when I pressed play. And my reaction, I watched the whole thing just... I was not getting a sense of story. I said, what the hell is that ape doing there? Where'd the briefcase go? I noticed that, and it bugged the hell out of me at first. And I sort of understood that it was supposed to be you and me, but I really wasn't feeling it strongly enough to know for sure whether that's what you meant. And then I got to the end, and I'm like, I want my 8 minutes back.
Yes, that's the comment. The first comment that I heard, this is the first review of the movie, as far as I'm concerned. I want my 8 minutes back.
So that would be two thumbs down, I think, at that point.
Well, it was interesting. I mean, and then,
here's how that progressed, you know, and that's my thing was, I can't believe he sent this to me. And so I had to show it to Jane. Right. And I did not predispose anything with her, express what I thought about it, but I was prepared when it ended to just turn to her and say, can you believe he sent that to me? But what happened instead was she just started laughing uproariously at every scene. And I was like, what? Okay, well, I guess we should go with this then. I immediately thought that what this thing needs is what would be really funny is to now that there's this visual, let's write a script. So I scribbled up a script, my basic concept being to make fun of the scenes.
Right.
With the intersecting polygons and the missing briefcase. And
which is great.
Hey, do you want to go up to the roof of this building? No, why don't we drive around it first?
Right.
After noticing that the building we're walking in front of before we get in the car is the building we get out of the car and go into.
Exactly.
And you explained that was because it's a really small world in there.
Yeah, it is.
The number of places you have is rather limited.
Yeah.
And then you ran with that and actually made the script into a story. We tweaked that back and forth just a little bit, not much at all, first change, and that's when we started tearing the movie apart into pieces, got the music bed separated from the Foley, removed the mumbling, and assembled all that in sonar with the video track. So all of our audio work on this was done outside of the movies game.
Yeah, and separately. We weren't talking to each other as we were doing it.
Oh, right. And that does seem uncannily seamless.
Unbelievable. That's the thing that I can't... When I watch this, I forget that we weren't in the same room. And we weren't.
No, we weren't even in the... We were 3,000 miles
apart. Yeah, not recording at the same time.
And I'm sure I was sleeping when you did yours. Yes.
Probably, yeah.
And you know why that is probably because we every time we record a podcast, we talk on the phone for 4 hours.
I think so.
I think we've got each other's response timings down.
Yeah, I think so.
And I don't know about you, but when I recorded my parts, that is first take.
Me too.
Every one of those. I just read them. And when I was done, I went, I really don't think I need to do any of those again.
Yeah, I think the only things that I re-recorded were, oh, I need to make that faster. And the interesting thing about that, too, is that like any normal movie, we each of us individually script edited. Lines were added. Each one of us added lines that weren't there before.
Right.
And cut out lines that didn't work.
Right. And there were things recorded that didn't make it into the final edit. Because once we had that Foley separated, there were sounds and street sounds and things that the characters were doing that I didn't want to trample over with our voice. They were fine as they were. So there's some shorn lines and some tasty lines that were just dropped.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that was amazing to me too, because We didn't even like communicate. I'm going to drop this line or I'm going to add this line. And it all just worked.
Right.
I mean,
right. Yeah. It is really neat that we could both sit in do the same environment in Sonar and come up with something that was so seamless like that. But from a technical perspective, there was very little post-processing or anything weird done. Just cutting up the little vocal snippets and lining them up with the character's motions to the degree that was possible.
Right.
Sonar made that very easy to shuttle back and forth in the video to pick the frame to slide a sound to. It was just, I was really impressed by how well Sonar dealt with video. And I was just amazed at how well it played back without hiccuping. I could record while watching video and everything about it was really, really sweet. And did very little EQ and very little affecting. It's mostly just a compositing deal, you know, getting things lined up, tweaking and tweaking and tweaking, and then passed an audio version to you for...
Which was awesome because I could just put it in with the... You didn't have to send me the video.
I didn't have to send you a 500 meg file. I sent you a 2 meg MPEG.
Right, and I just, you know, put it right
in
and see what it looked like.
And then we made some more tweaks from there. And I don't know, you know, sometimes I think being separate is actually helping us get stuff done faster because if we had both been sitting here, we would have watched it and then made an edit, right? And then watched it and made an edit, watched it, made an edit, watched it and made an edit. And every single time, one of us would have come up with something we wanted changed.
That's right.
We had to be efficient about the back and forth.
Right.
That didn't happen. So
I agree.
Owe the fact that this didn't take 6 months instead of only taking 3 weeks, which was still kind of crazy, but you know, we've got other things to do.
Yeah.
But was because we weren't sitting here.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that too, because you know, there were certain lines that as I went to record them just didn't work. I just didn't like, or I came up with another idea. But I had to stop myself because I couldn't come up with an idea that would cause you to have to re-record something.
Right.
You know, so I could only go so far. And, you know, he should say this. I'm like, well, he can't. He's recording right now. And
right.
So I totally agree. I thought about that. I'm like, and I even thought, even like scolded myself. I'm like, okay, how much right now, if you were together, how many times would you make ourselves do this like many, many times? I'd be like, no, let's do this. Oh, let's try it this
right
way.
And then if we had started that, it would have been a slippery slope because it would have been like you'd re-record and then we go, you know, the timbre of your voice doesn't match the other ones you did. You're gonna have to record all of the parts again.
Right exactly.
And then the timings of those wouldn't work out and we'd end up, you know,
right,
just,
yeah
this was best.
Yeah, everyone, you know, anyone who watches it, I've been telling, they're, because they're sort of, everyone's sort of afraid of, like, you know, it makes sense, but not a whole lot. And I'll say, I know this is what, this is our proof of concept and we scripted afterward. Oh, okay. Whoo. Okay. You know, everyone's sort of relieved. Like,
I'm afraid I don't know what you were going for.
Are you okay? Right. Because I don't, what, you know. But a lot of that stuff was game things that I probably, now that I know a little bit more, like the briefcase scene, there was no way to remove that. I wanted the shot in the car. There was no way to remove the briefcase. Well, there was, but then he would have opened the car and reached in and walked off with his hand holding nothing. I'm like, well, that's not going to work. And as they walk on the roof, there's no way to make him carry anything. I'm like, well, okay. And I, you know, I think we should also go on record because there'll be more of these. And unless we write the music or someone else does, we like to go on record saying we don't like the music.
Yeah.
Music is.
But I could tell you that the music bits that were left in there sound so much better in the little pieces than they did playing throughout the film.
Yeah. And I'll have to think about how to handle that in the future, too, because...
Well, I'm not opposed to writing music for something more planned.
Oh, I meant to say, I didn't hear the plosive from Janie in the final version.
It's significantly reduced.
Yeah, you did a good job with that.
Yeah, but you have to be careful because it's real easy to make it so that you just don't get the pee at all.
Yeah. I hate that. It hurts.
And in this movie, you definitely need to get the pee. Yeah. If you get nothing else from this movie, you got to get the pee.
In fact, I think that's probably what the trailer will say. The blonde Swedes, rocking a hard place, get the pee.
Get the pee.
There were several times, and I think I even said it to you in email, that I would be writing the script for this and just sit up and go, what am I doing? Like, why am I? I'm like walking around the house going, oh, I can't. She ape needs to say something. I'm like, what? Do you even hear yourself? What is wrong with you? What are you doing?
Hey, if Ed Wood was allowed to do it, why not us?
Well, that's true.
Story development.
I'm sort of kind of thinking about what to do next. And, you know, She-Ape is a big part of this. So it really leads into whatever comes next, whatever that is.
Yeah, She-Ape needs, like, minions. And
That's.
And I think her alter ego will be like a businesswoman at some high-power financial institution or something.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Like model her after Carly Fiorina or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I hadn't thought about that part. That's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I have this thought in my head of like this Monkeys Buckaroo Banzai movie spoof thing, you know, science fiction-y,
comic book-ish. Yeah,
you know. And I was talking to Christina last night. She had this great idea, and you know, it's kind of limited because we're you know, distant emotionally. No, we're distant physically. She said, "What you guys should do is intersperse. You know how these band TV shows used to do in the 70s, and intersperse footage of you guys performing." Actual footage in the middle of the movies.
Oh, my God. Like the Monkeys.
Right. I'm like, oh, my God, that's awesome. I'm like, oh.
That is awesome.
Like, so it's an idea that, you know, we probably obviously can't do it every time because,
right.
You know, we have to write things and perform and fly a lot. But
well, no, we just both need blue screen rigs.
Oh, that would work too.
And then we can be passing video files back and forth. And
right. But I just thought that was an awesome idea. I just imagined this whole, like, you know, like the end of this, it would be, you know, great job, great. And then we hit the stage, Daydream Believer, whatever it is we're performing.
we can do that. We only need a blue screen rig at one end.
Wow.
Now, if only somebody at the other end of this conversation had a camcorder.
Character development.
And by the way, I also created both of us in sim form. And I probably should say something about that, because the way that
have you got a sim running somewhere on a computer that's me and you living in some apartment complex like the Odd Couple?
No comment. But you know, now that I have us in sim form, I can make us do just about anything. Mm-hmm. but the funny thing about that is there, I think it looks reasonably enough like us to work. However. We're both the same height because every character is the same height. It's one of the things that people are hoping for an expansion pack is, you know, can we get like children? There are no children either. So you can't ever have a child.
Well, if you had a child, it'd be the same height as an adult. So
yeah,
you just think, boy, that's very, very creepy.
And they're also, this is going to sound very funny, but, that was the fattest I could possibly make us.
Right. You should go to the other extreme for comic effect just once.
Yeah.
It could be a dream sequence. Where one of us is dreaming about an adventure.
This is excellent.
And we're all Buff Among Us.
Yeah.
And stuff.
I can, you know, I can put us both in like Baywatch sort of bikini or bathing suits and seriously buff. That's easy to do.
I'll need an underwire. Just so you know.
A man's ear. Okay, well, that about does it for this week's or this bi-week's or this month's or this year's podcast. You can send any of your ideas for future movies or podcast feedback or any other ideas you want to give us to podcast@blondesweeds.com.
Yes, we'd really appreciate to hear from y'all.
Yes, indeedy. So until next time, this is Sean.
Oh, this is Liam.
That's not Sean.
God, I hate you.
This is tasty. okay, and until next time, this is Liam.
This is Sean.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Blonde Swedes Podcast is a production of Shorn Media in collaboration with Swedes and Things West Coast.
And that brings us to the end of another Blonde Swedes Podcast. Blonde Swedes would like to thank their supporters and the underwriting group of Pineapple Orange Juice Incorporated. We invite you to listen to the Blonde Swedes podcast in future installments. And again, we thank you for your time. Have a safe and pleasant evening. Hey, everybody. Like what you've heard tonight or don't like what you've heard tonight? Send your virtual panties and room keys to podcast@blondesweeds.com.